Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Idaho, as an acronym, advances global equality. Canada's marriage bill still sizzles alongside government scandals. And why World Pride is postponed till next year in Jerusalem. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 21st, 2005. May 17th was the first International Day Against Homophobia, or IDAHO, observed with actions in more than 40 countries on six continents, intended to raise awareness of the problem and its impact. IDAHO was the brainchild of French activist Louis-Georges Tin and was promulgated by ILGA, the International Lesbian and Gay Association. The day was selected because it's the anniversary of the World Health Organization's removal of homosexuality from its list of mental disorders in 1990. IDAHO's culminating activity will be the delivery of a petition to the United Nations demanding it take up human rights violations against sexual minorities. You can also sign this petition at www.petitiononline.com/IDAHO. That's IDAHO.
European Parliament President Joseph Borrell issued a statement saying, "Discrimination on grounds of sexual orientation remains a serious problem experienced by millions of people all over the globe and within the European Union. It remains our duty to continue the struggle against the moral discrimination and physical violence related to sexual orientation. Such injustices must be overcome in all countries by all means."
London Mayor Ken Livingstone also issued a statement saying, "We all have a responsibility to challenge homophobic hatred and violence towards lesbians and gay men." Other UK actions included a demonstration outside Saudi Arabia's embassy in London, protesting that Arab nation's harsh criminal laws against homosexuality, with penalties including floggings and executions.
In Amsterdam, some 1,500 people joined what was entitled the Queer Love and Peace Action, including a rally and kiss-in protesting recent anti-gay violence, including an attack against the editor of the U.S. lesbi-gay weekly Washington Blade and his partner.
In Stockholm, a cultural event memorializing victims of homophobic violence was followed by a rally featuring speeches by a number of politicians.
The Bulgarian gay organization held an equality walk in Sofia, marching from the National Palace of Culture to the National Assembly, where they presented the Speaker of the Parliament with letters calling for addition of the Day Against Homophobia to the official national calendar.
The group Malta Gay Rights Movement also took the occasion to lobby its national parliament to take action against homophobia.
In the Ukraine, the Nosh Mir Gay and Lesbian Center spurned a warning from the city of Kiev to stage a picket protesting a school's recent expulsion of a gay student. The city's concern for a confrontation with counter-demonstrators was justified as two picketers were attacked, but other picketers and reporters intervened to stop the violence. Nosh Mir also hoisted a large rainbow flag in the main square of the capital, while related actions were staged in Odessa and Nikolaev. Other IDAHO observances in Europe were held in countries including Albania, Belgium, France, Germany, Greece, Italy, Latvia, Poland, Portugal, Russia, and Spain.
The most widely reported Asian observance was a march and rally in Hong Kong, as some 350 people from 16 organizations demanded equality legislation. Many marchers wore masks to symbolize the stigmatization of homosexual orientation. It was widely described as the first such march held there, although in fact a small pride parade had been staged in October. The spectators reportedly numbered fewer than the marchers, at less than 300. The IDAHO date was timely, as the Hong Kong government has recently announced plans both to establish a gender identity and sexual orientation unit to promote equal opportunities over a two-year trial period, and to complete a long-delayed survey of public opinion on the possibility of enacting civil rights protections. Reportedly, the government has already received more than 20,000 letters opposing an anti-discrimination law, thanks to a campaign by Christian conservatives, while lesbi-gay groups have gathered only some 3,200 signatures petitioning in favor of it. The government is concerned about that weight of public opinion, and the lone lawmaker to appear at this week's rally, Leung Kwak-hung, apologized for the absence of others. Hong Kong's Human Rights Monitor published a report identifying the territory's legal bias against lesbi gays, including the absence of protections from discrimination, the lack of recognition of same-gender relationships, and an unequal age of consent, 16 for heterosexuals and 21 for gays, and saying these conditions violate international covenants.
Also in Asia, the Sri Lankan lesbi, gay, trans, and questioning group Equal Ground used the date to release what may be that nation's first publication on the human rights of sexual minorities. Published in three languages, it's entitled Human Right.
The Philippines observance featured a showing of films and a panel discussion.
Australian observances included the launch of community service announcements by the group Gay and Lesbian Equality West Australia, which also called on its state parliament to take action against anti-gay bullying in schools.
Idaho observances in Africa included films and lectures staged in Kenya.
Latin American observances included public forums in Brazil, Mexico, and Peru. In Caracas, Venezuela, the mayor of the Metropolitan District ceremonially declared it to be a territory free of homophobia. Also in Caracas, the group Revolutionary Gay Movement of Venezuela held a colorful rally and a first step towards organizing election campaigns for openly lesbi gay candidates. Although the current national administration has been progressive, no open gay or lesbian sits in the Venezuelan legislature or has ever been elected to it as such. But 165 seats in the National Assembly are up for grabs in December.
Britain will have its second open gay in the House of Lords. Named to a life peerage late last week was Chris Smith, who in 1984 became the UK's first politician to publicly identify himself as a gay man and went on to become a cabinet member in the first Blair administration. Last year, Smith also made public that he has HIV. Smith left his seat in Parliament this month to chair the London Cultural Consortium. He'll now join open gay Walid Ali in the Lords, but it may be a friendlier place. The latest round of appointments finally make the ruling Labour Party the largest party there.
Some local elections were held in the U.S. this week with a few victories for open gays and lesbians. Most dramatically, open gay and log cabin Republicans member Mike Gin won a whopping 61% of the vote and all 12 precincts in a runoff for mayor of Redondo Beach in Southern California. A conservative Republican group in a neighboring county sent out a mailer claiming that Gin's campaign contribution from the National Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund was an investment in that insidious gay agenda. But that seems only to have increased support for the two-time city council member. Gin's opponent, also a Republican, denounced the mailer. In nearby Los Angeles, open gay Bill Rosendahl won a seat on the city council by a solid margin. Open gay Dan Ryan won a seat on the Portland, Oregon School Board, winning a seat on the Lincoln School Board earlier this month with 56% of the vote. Barbara Beyer became Nebraska's first ever openly lesbian or gay elected official.
In Poland, Mayor Lech Kaczynski declared this week he would move to stop Warsaw's annual Pride March again this year. The Equality Parade is scheduled for June 11th, but in Kaczynski's words, organizing a gay parade on that day is a joke, because it's also the scheduled unveiling of a monument to World War II resistance leader General Stefan Grot-Rowecki. Kaczynski added that he also opposed it for any other day, saying, "I am for tolerance, but I am against propagating gay orientation." Three annual equality parades were held before Kaczynski blocked last year's, ostensibly fearing clashes between marchers and counter-demonstrators. About 500 activists nonetheless gathered outside City Hall to call him a homophobe. Kaczynski is widely expected to be the Law and Justice Party candidate for the Polish presidency in October.
Canada's national bill to open marriage to same-gender couples is still alive. A confidence vote in the parliament this week kept the Liberal government in power thanks to the speaker breaking a tie. Had the government fallen on this budget bill, all its incomplete legislation, including the marriage bill, would have died with it. Helping to turn the tide was an important defection from the opposition Conservative Party by marriage-supportive Member of Parliament Belinda Stronach, who was rewarded by her new Liberal Party colleagues with the post of Minister of Human Resources. However, it's quite likely there will be more confidence votes challenging the scandal-plagued government, and their outcome is far from certain. Meanwhile, even if the federal legislation isn't enacted, the court rulings that have already legalized same-gender marriages in most of Canada will still stand.
And finally, May 17th was not only the International Day Against Homophobia, it was the first anniversary of the first gay and lesbian marriages in the U.S. Since a court ruling opened marriage to same-gender couples in Massachusetts, more than 6,000 of those couples have tied the knot, and reportedly only 3 of them have filed for divorce. Thousands of those spouses braved the cold to gather on the steps of the State House in Boston and for smaller celebrations in other cities to cut wedding cakes, drink champagne, and pose for photos. Pundits generally observe that acceptance is growing, as essentially every town now boasts a same-gender marriage, although the state legislature continues to work on a state constitutional amendment to prohibit those marriages. A Boston Globe editorial opined, "It strains the imagination to see how a year of gay marriage has caused the state any discernible harm. Supporters even point to a modest economic boost due to tourism and other local spending on gay weddings. But the reason to toast today's wedding anniversaries has little to do with tax revenues and everything to do with the riches that come from extending civil rights to every citizen."
That's News Wrap for the week ending May 21st, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
Are you signed up for our monthly emailed This Way Out updates? They briefly preview upcoming programming and give you other behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio program. We also send out weekly email messages about the specific content of each upcoming show. To receive one or both of these messages, all you need to do is email tworadio@aol.com. And be assured that we don't share, sell, or otherwise provide your email address or anything else about you to anyone, and we never will. Again, to receive the monthly This Way Out update and or our weekly program promo message, ask for them by name when you email tworadio@aol.com. Can a little pride bring a moment's peace to one of the world's most troubled regions? There won't be an answer to that question this year, at least not in Jerusalem, where a planned 10-day World Pride celebration has been postponed. Unfortunately, the festival and parade that would bring queer people from around the world to the city that 3 major religions consider holy would have coincided with Israel's pullout from Gaza and the West Bank. But timing is not the only sensitive matter facing gay and lesbian activists in the context of Mideast politics. This Way Out's Brian Goble reports from San Francisco, where the postponement was announced.
The idea of an international gay pride celebration in Jerusalem was inspired by the original World Pride in Rome in 2000. Haggai El-Ad is the executive director of Jerusalem Open House, a gay and lesbian center.
I didn't attend the first World Pride in Rome, I wasn't there, but I was fortunate enough to go to Rome about a year later and meet many of the activists that were a part of doing World Pride in Rome. And every person that I met that was a part of it and talked about it had tears in his or her eyes when they were describing the atmosphere and how emotional and powerful and life-changing experience that was. And after that, when I returned to Jerusalem, I spoke with my board. We need to have a Jerusalem Pride. And in June 2002, we did the first Pride March in Jerusalem, which was a very, very powerful experience. There are so many stories already around Pride in Jerusalem, in how it helped people in the coming out process, made their coming out even a possibility, changed the way they perceived themselves as human beings in Jerusalem.
Compared to other areas in Israel, which seem to be more accepting of gays and lesbians, Jerusalem remains conservative, regarded as a holy city by Christians, Jews, and Muslims. Both Israelis and Palestinians claim Jerusalem as their capital. It is a city that has been wrecked by violence and suicide bombings, although recently there's been an uneasy calm. Elad says the concept around holding a second world pride, when LGBT people from all over the world would descend on Jerusalem, is to demonstrate that even though people have differences, they can put them aside. It would be a symbol of tolerance and diversity, he says. The title, Love Without Borders.
The fact is that there is a thriving gay scene in Jerusalem that includes in it people that are religious and people that are Palestinian and people that are Jewish and people that are Israeli and everyone. And we find meaningful, possible ways of doing things and changing reality in a gradual process as it should be in Jerusalem.
While there has been some opposition to the last three gay pride celebrations in Jerusalem, they have all been peaceful. But holding an international gay parade and celebration was seen, according to the Jerusalem Post, as out of touch with both the spiritual character of the city as well as the sensitivities of its residents. It wasn't until this year, though, 2 years after World Pride Jerusalem was announced, that conservative religious leaders from three faiths began mounting a campaign against it in what some newspapers called an unusual show of unity.
A major drive behind this has actually been an evangelical priest from the state of California, from San Diego.
Hi, this is Leo Giovanetti from Mission Valley Christian Fellowship in San Diego, California.
In a sense, it has been a rather novel experience for us, because this is really an attempt to export what I believe is a very American-specific brand of homophobia.
God will not allow this public flaunting of sin to pass by unnoticed.
Giovanetti, with his national radio show, galvanized conservative religious leaders, calling World Pride to their attention. That was in early March of 2005. And then,
the very end of March of 2005 brought about something that was just very sad. And that was the press conference in Jerusalem, an unprecedented event of the two chief rabbis of Israel, the deputy mufti, and the Muslim cleric, and a few of the Christian cardinals in Jerusalem. Jerusalem has lots of holy people. And they came together, and one would imagine that there are quite a few issues in the world where people can come together around. There has been lots of violence in Jerusalem. They could have come together to make a statement for peace and against violence. That's just one example. There's a lot of suffering in the world, natural disasters, other bad things that happen. They could have come together to make a statement or start an action in that regard. None of the above. What was the reason that they came, finally were successful in putting aside their mutual hatred of each other? They have never sat together. So they have finally found a group of individuals that they hate more than they hate each other, the gay community, and issued, you know, their statements that this is the moral rape of the holy city and that all of these people coming to Jerusalem are going to make the city dirty and those kind of sad statements. I think it's a very sad moment for religion, not so much for the gay community, but for people of faith. If that is what religion has become, that is very unfortunate.
The fact that conservative religious leaders were lining up against the celebration gave the organizers more determination to see it through. Jerusalem's Orthodox mayor was opposed, but admitted he didn't have the authority to stop it. But then came the issue of the rescheduled pullout from Gaza and the West Bank, which would have coincided with the parade and celebration.
In Israel, the pullout from Gaza is something that is very controversial. There are many people that support it wholeheartedly and feel very strongly that this is the right thing to do, that should have happened many years ago, and so on. There are many others that oppose it totally, feel that it's a horrible mistake, and are vigorously demonstrating against it. Now, Jerusalem Open House is not a political organization. We do not have positions on such questions. But the one thing that everyone agrees on is, regardless of the fact whether you're supportive of the pullout or opposing it, everyone feels that it's certainly not going to be an easy period for Israeli society. And in fact, it's going to be quite traumatic for Israeli society. Thousands of people, the Israeli settlers in Gaza, are going to be dragged out of their homes against their will. And even if you think that that's the right move, no one feels that that's a happy moment to be celebrating.
So now the organizers have decided to delay World Pride 2005 until the summer of 2006. Elad was in San Francisco when the decision was announced.
We felt that insisting on staying on track and doing it at exactly the same time that this is happening around us would be a grave mistake. It would be a time when it would be totally impossible to articulate the values that we want to promote for this event. And not only that it will not serve the cause that we want to serve, but on the contrary, it will be perceived, and perhaps rightfully so, as something very insensitive, and could push back actually many of our public achievements many years back.
We think it's interesting that Jerusalem Open House seems to have just noticed that they're in a war zone.
Kate Raphael with Queers Undermining Israeli Terrorism, or QUIT, praised the decision to delay the event, but would rather see it held in South Africa. The San Francisco-based group has begun organizing a boycott against World Pride Jerusalem.
It's not even inclusive of people who live 5 minutes away. I mean, there are people, there are going to be queer people living in Abu Dis or Aram who are going to hear the parade go by and not be able to get there because of a 25-foot concrete wall. And that's particularly ironic for, you know, an event that's whose theme is supposed to be love without borders. And I think it's a positive thing that they're taking notice of the situation that they're in, the political situation that they're in. And I guess we would call on them to continue to do that.
To help show what Raphael says daily life is really like, QUIT has produced a 15-minute video, which was recently put on display on a busy street corner in San Francisco's Castro District.
One of our members had the idea to build a wall and have two television sets or laptops and show on one side the DVD that Blue Star PR made to promote World Pride that they handed out, I think, 10,000 copies of at last year's San Francisco Pride celebration, which is all about, oh, come to Israel because it's so great and queers are so free and it's so beautiful and the people are really beautiful. And so on one side we played that, and on the other we wanted to show what the reality is. And so it's mostly about the wall, but it also brings in pictures, images of checkpoints, and some footage from demonstrations against the construction of the apartheid wall, demonstrations that I was at, where people were shot, where young kids were shot at, where large numbers of people were tear gassed and injured, and also people being detained for many hours at checkpoints without water, and sort of trying to, because I think a lot of people don't know what the situation is. And you hear something like separation fence, or, you know, you hear security checkpoints and you don't know what that means. I didn't know, certainly, until I had been there and seen it with my own eyes.
Despite the opposition from QUIT and other queer activists and religious groups, World Pride organizers say they plan to go ahead with the 10-day event in 2006. And they say, with another year on their side, they hope to make it better. For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goebel in San Francisco.
What if I told you that it really could be? Hey, what if I told you that it really, really could be? What is it worth? Peace on earth, peace on earth. Then what if you found out that it all begins with you?
Then what if you found out it's in every little thing you do? What is it worth? Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Then what if I told you it was all within your grasp? Then what if I told you to receive, all you gotta do is ask? What is it worth? Peace on earth. Peace on earth. And would you want it if it meant you'd have to forgive every trespass against you? And would you want it if it meant loving your enemy just like a friend? Would you lay down your arms? Lay down.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Brian Goble contributed program material. Thanks also to J.D. Doyle. Metropolitan Klezmer performed some of the music you heard. Mark Islam sang Peace on Earth, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners. We thank you. Please find out how you can help keep us on the air and get our tangible thanks by visiting our website. And to be sure you don't miss a week of This Way Out, you can subscribe to audio CDs of our program. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KALW San Francisco, California, WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, 4ZZZ Brisbane, Queensland, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. We're all going to stay tuned.